Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Narayanam Namaskritya. Naram Chaiva Narottamam. Devim Sarasatim Vyasam. Tato Jaya Mudiraye. We're reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 9, text number 23. Drishta Maya Divi Vibho Akila Dishnya Panam. Drishta Maya Divi Vibho Akila Dishnya Panam. Ayu Shriyo Vibhava Ichati Yan Jano Ayam Ayu Shriyo Vibhava Ichati Yan Jato Yam. Ye Asmat Pituhu Kupitahasa Vrijinbata Bhru. Ye smat pitu kupitahasa Vrijinbata Bhru. Vispurajitena Lulita Sa Tu Te Nirastaha. Vishpurjitena lulita satute nirastaha. Drishta maya divi vibho kila dishnyapanam. Ayu shriyo bhibhava icchati yanjatoyam. Yesmat Pitu kupitihasa vrijinbhata bhru. Vispurjitena lulita satute nirastaha. Drishta maya divi vibho kila dishnyapanam. Ayu shriyo vibhava icchati anjanoyam. Yesmat pitu kupitahasa vrijinbhata bhru. Vispurjitena lulita satute nirastaha. Drishta maya divi vibho kila dishnyapanam. Ayu shriyo vibhava icchati yanjanoyam. Smakku kupitahasa vrijinbhata bhru. Vispurjitena lulita satute nirastaha. Drishta vibho kila dishnyapanam. Ayushriya vibhava icchati yanjanoyam. Kupitahasa vrijinbhata bhru. Vispurjitena lulita satute nirasta. Vaishnavis. Drishta maya divivibho kila dishnyapanam. Ayushriyo vibhava icchati yanjano yam. Sma kupitaha sabrachim ratabhru. Vispurajitena lulita satute nirastaha. Drishta vibho kila dishnyapanam. Yosviyosh vichatiyanjanoyam. Smat. Kupitaha savrajim ritabhru. Vispurajitena lulita. Drishta. Having been seen practically. Maya. By me. Divi. In the higher planetary systems. Vibho, O my Lord, Akila, all, Dishnya, Panam, of the chiefs of different states or planets. Ayuhu, the duration of life. Shriyaha, the opulences. Vibhavaha, glories and influence. Icchati, desire, yan, all of which, jana ayam, these people in general, yay, all of which, duration of life, opulence, etc., asmat pituhu, of our father, Hiranyakashipu. Kupitahasa, by his critical laughing when angry. Rajimbita, being expanded. Bru, of the eyebrows. Vispurjitena, simply by the feature. Lulitaha, pulled down or finished. Saha, he, my father. To, but, te, by you. Nirastaha, completely vanquished. Translation. My dear Lord, people in general want to be elevated to the higher planetary systems for a long duration of life, opulence, and enjoyment. But I have seen all these through the activities of my father. When my father was angry and he laughed sarcastically at the demigods, they were immediately vanquished simply by seeing the movements of his eyebrows. Yet my father, who was so powerful, has now been vanquished by you within a moment. Purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada. Within this material world, one should understand practically within this material world, one should understand by practical experience the value of material opulence, longevity, and influence. We have actual experience that even on this planet, there have been many great politicians and military commanders like Napoleon, Hitler, Subhash Chandra Bose, and Gandhi. But as soon as their lives were finished, their popularity, influence, and everything else were finished also. Prahlad Maharaj formally gathered the same experience by seeing the activities of Hiranyakashipu, his great father. Therefore, Prahlad Maharaj did not give any importance to anything in this material world. No one can maintain his body or material achievements forever. A Vaishnav can understand that nothing within this material world, not even that which is powerful, opulent, or influential, can endure. And any time such things may be vanquished. And who can vanquish them? And who can vanquish them? The Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, one should conclusively understand that no one is greater than the Supreme Great. Since the Supreme Great demands sarvadharman parityaja mamekam sharanam braja, every intelligent man must agree to this proposal. One must surrender unto the Lord to be saved from the wheel of repeated birth, death, old age, and disease. Om Agnana Timidandasya Gnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Nena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Mano Pishtam Stapitam Nena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Katahmayam Tadati Swapatantikam Vandeham Sri Guru Sri Yuta Padakamalam Sri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunatham Mitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Sadvatutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakan Vitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindo Dinabando Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Pyevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhaktavinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare Drishta Maya Divibhoki Ladishnyapanam Ayushriyo Vibhava Ichati Yanjanoyam Yesmat Pitu Kupitahasa Brajim Ratabhru Vispurjitena Lulita Satutena Rastaha. So, Drishta Maya Divibhibho Kila Dishnapanam. Drishta Maya. So he's saying, Drishta means to see. Drishta Maya. I can see. Drishta Maya Divibhibho means, Vibho, again, he's addressing the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Oh, great one. That's, we can see. I'm seeing practically that everyone wants Ichati. They want this, heavenly opulence. Drishtamaya divibibo kila dishnapanam. Dishnapanam is the chiefs of the heavenly planets. Drishtamaya divibibo kila dishnapanam. Akila. Akila means all of them. So everyone in the material world is motivated some way or another. They have some angle. They want something for themselves. It's not selfless. There's something left over I want for myself. Drishta maya divibibho kila dishnapanam ayushriya bibhava ichati yanjanoyam. So ayu means a lifespan. They want to get a better lifespan. Ayushriyo, and this means opulence. Ayushriyo bibhava, powers, all kinds of powers. Shriyo bibhava ichati yanjanoyam. So we see yanjanoyam ichati, that all of the people in general, that's what they desire. Everyone wants some kind of opulence to show off to their family. They want to go home and show their mom that, look, how educated and what's become of me. I remember when my mother died, I was thinking, who am I going to show it to now? Because everyone wants to go home and show their parents. That's why when Arjuna was on the battlefield of Kukshetra and Krishna took him between the two armies, and he realized, I got to kill all the people I was going to, you know, show off the kingdom to. So what's the use of it? Yeah. Dishtamaya divi bibo akila dishnipanam ayushriyo bibaba ichati yanjanoyam ye smut pitu kupitahasa vrijimritabru. So then he says, ye smut pitu kupitahasa vrijimritabru means, vrijimrita means to expand. So, and bru means eyebrows. So he's talking about his father, the way his father used to abuse everybody. And he was a horrible father, Hiranyakashipu. And there's a section of the Srimad Bhagavatam in which this is the seventh chapter, seventh canto, fourth chapter, in which Narada Muni is talking to Yudhishthira about how Hiranyakashipu terrorized the universe. He got his powers through his austerity, and then after getting ironclad benediction from Brahma, his body turned golden. Before that, his body was practically gone because he performed such severe austerities that he was standing on his tiptoes with his hands stretched into the sky, and he stood there for millions of years until his body was eaten away by ants. It was just a big anthill. And Brahma came and restored him by sprinkling some water from his water pot. And then he said, what would you like? And Hiranyakashipu, in a very obsequious way, worshipped Brahma, calling him the Supreme Lord, and asked for so many benedictions that he wouldn't die. And so after that, he felt invincible. And as any demon would do, as soon as he got some power, then he began to crush everyone else. And there were only three demigods that weren't under his sway. That was Brahma, Vishnu, and Shiva. Everybody else came and worshipped Hiranyakashipu. In fact, the earth willingly gave up all kinds of produce. Trees gave abundant fruits. But it was all out of fear of Hiranyakashipu and his great powers. This is how much power he had attained. So, yesmat kupita, yesmat pitu kupita, hasa vrijimbrichabru, that he, just by his movement of his eyebrow, you know, he would give somebody that stare and he'd lift his eyebrow and everyone would become afraid because of that. And even Narada Muni was coming to Hiranyakashipu and bowing down. Prabhupada mentions that sometimes demons become so powerful that even Vaishnavas, they'll come and they'll have some interaction with them like that. So that's how powerful Hiranyakashipu was at the time. Yesmat pitu kupita hasa vrijimbrita bru vispurjitena lulita satute nirastaha. So nirastaha means, but he was finished. And he had everything. He had the whole thing sewed up. He had the ironclad benediction. He had control over everything. He had all the wealth in the universe. Everything was good. But vispurjitena lulita. What is it? Vispurjitena means? Simply by the feature. So that relates to the last line, that simply by the feature of his raising his eyebrows, he controlled everybody. Vispurjitena lulita satutena rasta. So lulita means to be pulled down. But he was, so lulita, he was pulled down in a moment, nirasta, and finished, because Lord Nrisingadev vanquished him. So because of that, Prahlad Maharaj is saying, what's the use of investing in anything in this material world? People are after all these kinds of opulences, but in a second, I've seen it for myself that they're all finished. So in the first line of the purport, Srila Prabhupada says that one should see very practically how this is true in the material world. And Lord Krishna tells Uddhava in the 11th canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Shruti pratyakshamaitiyam anamanam chatushpadam pramani shanavastana vikalpat savirajite. And that is that one should take four kinds of evidence to find out that this material world is not stable. It's not a stable place to live. This means anavastanad. Stanad means a place where you can stand. And avanastanad means that there's no place to stay here. There's no place that you can actually stay. Bhutva gramasa evayam, bhutva bhutva praliyate, ratragame praliyante tatraivav yaktasamdake. Krishna says in the Bhagavad Gita, it's always being destroyed. Over and over again, it's manifested and then destroyed again. And even in the higher planetary systems, those great sages, during every day of Brahma, have to take air transport to higher planetary systems because the universe gets, the lower section of the universe gets destroyed. And there's a great heat that comes up from that, even in some of the higher planetary systems. So you constantly have to move, even in the higher planetary systems, to an even higher level so you don't get scorched. So Krishna says, Shruti, you should hear from the Shastra. You should take this Vedic evidence that this material world is not stable. And, of course, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, we hear, Deha patra kalatra desu atmasaine su satsapi, tesham pramatunitanam pashyanapi na pashyati. Shukadeva Goswami says, when he's speaking to Brikshit at the very outset, that your body, which everyone tries to maintain very nicely, and it's not a bad idea, but Prabhupada says people, they run on the beach and try to become very strong to maintain the body. There's some conception that if I just take the right kinds of nutrients and I exercise and everything like that, I'll live forever. But even the greatest advocate of health, a few years ago, it was about 10 years ago, he used to do a talk circuit about optimum health, how to maintain your heart and everything. He died of a heart attack. No, I don't mean to laugh. It's serious. But he died of a heart attack during a marathon race. He just dropped dead. So deha, the body, it won't protect us. Deha patra kalatradeshu. It means then the extensions of the body, I think, the family members, wife, husband, or my wealth, these things can protect me. But Shukadeva Goswami says they're fallible soldiers. But then he says, Pashyanapi na pashyati. Everyone sees it. They see that there's no stable position, but they don't see it. So Krishna advises, take evidence from the Shruti that this is not a stable place, the material world. Shruti pratyaksham. And then he says, pratyaksha, see for yourself. You should look around and see how everyone's being vanquished. Satyadev Prabhu was a paramedic for 20 years, and when we were having programs at my house, he used to come over regularly, coming from his shift. He's retired now, thankfully, but he would come home from his job, where every day he would have to pick people up from bloody disasters, and he would remind us that anything can happen to anyone at any time. And they do happen. And people, like one woman he said was driving along the San Mateo bridge on her way to work, and there was a metal bar in the road, and as the wheel kicked it up just in the right way, that it shot through the bottom of her car and up through her spine, and she died on the freeway. Just within a couple seconds. She wasn't expecting it, and it was a so-called freak accident. But he said, these things happen all the time. Or he said, perfectly healthy people, very healthy people, suddenly get a virus that goes in their ear. 3 days later, they're dead from a virus in their brain and so forth. So the body and the family members and our money can't protect us. But we see it, we don't see it. But Krishna says to Uddhava, you should observe this for yourself and become convinced that it's not stable. Then he says, Aityam, hear from tradition that's passed down, that the world's a temporary place, and Anuman, through your own logical deduction, that the death rate is still at 100%. It hasn't changed at all. And by seeing these things, one should become detached. Vikalpat means you should have a sense of detachment from this world that I can leave at any time. So here Prabhupada's saying we should have this practical experience. And Prahlad Maharaj saying, I've seen it for myself, therefore I'm not interested in anything. And in lecturing on this verse, Srila Prabhupada quoted a verse from the Srimad Bhagavatam, 11th canto, Bhakti Parishanu Bhavo Viraktiranyata Traisha Trika Ekakala Prapadya Manasya Yatasnata Sus Tushti Pushti Shuddha Payonugasam. And this is a analogy of a man eating food who's very hungry. And the verse says, when a person eats food and he's hungry, he gets nourishment, satisfaction, and eradication of hunger. These three things happen simultaneously and automatically when you eat food. So in the same way, when one surrenders to Krishna, prapadya manasya, one who is in the process of surrender, gets bhakti. That means a sense of love for Krishna. Parishanubhava. Anubhava means one sees Krishna for himself. He experiences Krishna directly. And virakti. Virakti means detachment from the world. So these three things come simultaneously to one who's engaged in the surrender process to Krishna. That is bhakti, direct perception of the Lord, and detachment from things that aren't related to Krishna, virakti. So in the commentary on that verse, Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says that there's a difference between tyag and virakti. Tyag means to give things up. And I may be giving up things that I don't want to give up. But virakti means that I give them up because I have a higher purpose. I have a higher interest. I have a higher taste. And that relates to this whole analogy of eating food, that a devotee gets nourishment, satisfaction, and eradication of hunger for anything in the material world. These three things, tushti, pushti, and shuddhapayaro, which means satisfaction, nourishment, and one's hunger goes away. That relates, tushti relates to bhakti, which means that one feels actually satisfied by taking to the process of bhakti. And then one feels nourished. So Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur says, by engaging in bhakti, one is in contact with the supreme nourisher. Krishna is called Vishvambar. He maintains and nourishes the whole universe. And one experiences how Krishna is directly taking care of him. So he feels nourished. And virakti means that he has a higher taste, and therefore he naturally gives up things that aren't related to Krishna because he finds them unsavory, unpalatable. And so there's a natural way in which one becomes detached from the material world by taking to Krishna consciousness. But at the same time, one must cultivate a sense that this material world is temporary and that I can leave at any time. Prabhupada said the difference between a transcendentalist and a materialist is this, that a transcendentalist thinks that I can depart at any second, and a materialist thinks that I will live forever. So having this healthy sense of urgency that I can leave at any second and I'm not prepared to always remember Krishna and to understand that all the things that are available to me in this material world are not of much value because they're also available to temporary lower living beings. Oftentimes walking around Govardhan Hill, you're just walking and walking and chanting, and then you can look out and see how all the animals, they are engaged in eating, sleeping, mating, and defending, and it's free. So how valuable can it be? Working hard for these kinds of things in a glorified way. Om Tat Sat. So because I spoke for a long time on the other 2 days, I want to have some discussion, questions and answers, which I didn't leave time for last time. So that relates to anything we've talked about over the weekend, any of the verses, or anything that's stuck in your mind means a reflection. Yes. So now, Shastra Krit Prabhu is bringing the microphone, but I'll repeat your question. All right. So, your question was that we hear in the early stages of Prahlad's pastimes when he's a young boy, all these profound realizations that he's offering a detachment from the world. And then later on, he takes to household life, becomes a king, and so forth, and goes on in that way for tens of thousands of years. And how do these two things balance? Right? So one thing is that Krishna awarded him, Lord Nrsingadeva awarded him a benediction to stay and rule the kingdom. And actually, he asked him to do that. And there's a way in which it's described in the story of Sudama Brahman that Krishna gives opulence to pure devotees when he understands that they can handle it. Some people he takes away everything in order to rectify their attachment to the material world. And others who are responsible and he can trust, he gives all kinds of opulence. After all, kings are necessary. And when there's a Rajarishi, then everyone gets benefit. Many of these kings, they were great Rajarishis. Parikshit Maharaj was a pure devotee, Yudhishthir and so forth. Krishna was very intent on having Yudhishthir be the king for the sake of dharma. And this was one of his purposes in arranging the battle at Kurukshetra, was to make sure that Yudhishthir was maintained as the king. Paritranaya sadhunam vinashaya chaduskritam dharma samstapanartaya sambhavam yuge yuge. Krishna has this purpose to establish dharma and cut down the miscreants. And at the beginning of the fifth canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, Priyavrata, who is a renunciate and whose guru is Narada Muni, was all set for renunciation. And when he got asked to be the temple president, he wasn't into it. And he said, no thanks. I'm gonna stay in here and chant. I'm not going to take the responsibility. But because he wouldn't take it, Brahma had to come down and even convince him. And he told him, you'll not fall under the influence of the material energy, even though you'll take this great responsibility. What power he had, too. He was able at one point to create another sun. He said, one sun's not enough. Let me create another one. And with his chariot, he drove around the universe, and by his own effulgence, he made an equivalent of another sun. He had such great powers. So there are ample examples throughout the Srimad Bhagavatam of great souls who were completely renounced to the world but were asked to take responsibility. And that comes to another point that Prabhupada mentions when he talks about this verse that we're discussing today, and that is that the devotee engages everything in Krishna's service and therefore is not affected by the connection to the material world. Iha yasya harir dasye karmana manasa gira nikila apyavastastu jivan muktasya uchite. Even while in this world, iha means even while interacting with the world, the devotee doesn't become affected. Of course, Prahlad Maharaj later on, he took on all those opulences and so forth, but he was never affected by them. Yes, Archita.
Thank you very much for all your wonderful presentations, Prabhu. This question arises because sometimes devotees can't reconcile. They think that being a pure devotee means you don't get married. So there was a famous morning walk, and maybe you've heard, it happened in Mayapur in 76, where one sannyasi was asking Prabhupada about this. He says, sure, Prabhupada, why do pure devotees get married? And Prabhupada said, because it's natural. So they kept walking along, and he asked the same question again, but Prabhupada, why do pure devotees get married? Prabhupada said, because it's natural. And he asked for a third time, but Prabhupada, because he couldn't understand, why do pure devotees get married? In other words, they should all be like Bhakti Siddhanta, or, you know. So Prabhupada said, you're asking this question because you want to get married.
Savas, Prabhu.
Thank you very much. In a purport yesterday, Prabhupada said that the Supreme Lord has allotted every living entity a certain amount of material suffering. And then Prabhupada goes on to say that the only way that we can overcome this allotted material suffering is if we go back to the same person who gave it to us, which is the Supreme Lord. Now, does a devotee... How does a devotee take this? Should a devotee directly ask the Supreme Lord, please relieve me of all my suffering? Or should a devotee just accept the suffering, as we've heard so many times, and just continue on with their service to the Lord and hoping that everything will be okay? So my question is, how should a devotee approach the Supreme Lord, if they should, in order to get rid of their allotment of suffering in this material world?
Well, the quintessential attitude of a devotee is mentioned in the verse Tate Anukampam Susumikshamano Bunjana Evatma Kritam Vipakam, that the devotee is never a victim, never says I'm a victim, and accepts whatever suffering comes as the Lord's mercy. When adversities come to a devotee, he or she thinks that I deserved a lot more than this, but I received just a token by the Lord's mercy to remind me that this world isn't my home. And when good things come to a devotee, in other words, there's a windfall or some material opulence comes, he or she thinks that I didn't deserve this because I'm so sinful, but Krishna's given it to me to engage in his service. Whereas a materialist, when he gets a windfall or some material opulence, thinks, I'm so smart, what do I need God for? And when something bad happens, he goes on Larry King and says, why do, bad things happen to good people? And there's a big debate about, why something bad could happen to a good person. And so the devotee always remains meek and humble and accepts the sufferings that come. I think that it's important to... For most people, I mean, this is not just within our society or anywhere. It's a question that gets asked by people all over the world. Why are we suffering? Because we don't remember what we've done previously, and it just seems unfair. But it's important to establish that Krishna, God, is the perfect moral agent. He doesn't give any more or any less in the material world than anyone deserves. And everything that he's giving is for rectification. It's for purification. As Sridhananda Maharaj often says, it's sensitivity training. A cosmic sensitivity training. So that one can actually become a perfect being and come to the perfect stage. And also, it's not Krishna imposing it upon us. As he clearly says in the fifth chapter of the Bhagavad Gita, that I don't assume anyone's sinful or pious activities. I'm not causing the living entity to suffer. The living entity is suffering because of ignorance, because of his engagement in ignorance. And ignorance means ignorance. Ignorance means I turned my face away from Krishna, and therefore there's a shadow, and therefore I see something separately from him, and I have to suffer the reaction because I'm going against my constitutional position. In any case, just to answer your question, I mean... It's an acquired taste. Queen Kunti says that let these calamities happen again and again. What is the verse? Vipara santita shasva tatra tatra jagat guru bhavato darshanam yatsyad apunar bhavadarshanam. That all these calamities are really good for me. Please let me have more. Because when there's some calamity, I have to dig really deep. I mean, isn't it true that what we call a teachable moment? How many teachable moments do you get in your lifetime? Real teachable moments. When you really give it all up, when you really bare your soul and say that I surrender, I really surrender, or you really see things clearly, most of the time everyone's asleep and they're thinking, I'm the body, I'm the doer, either subtle or gross. Even in devotional service, I can go on for years and years thinking I'm this, I'm that, and not really come to the stage of complete vulnerability and surrender. So if I get some situation like that, when I have nowhere else to go and I have to surrender, and those people who have cultivated Krishna consciousness, or even they have some sukriti, Krishna says, Chatur vidha bhajante imam jana sukritino arjuna arto jignasa artarti jnani cha bharatarshapa. That anyone who has some punya, if they get put into an adverse situation, they'll surrender to Krishna. So Prabhupada says this in his purport, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, that one who can take the punishment of the master as a reward can come to the perfect stage. If you can take punishment as a reward. And yes, Amarendra Prabhu.
Prahlad Maharaj's grandson, Dhruva Maharaj, didn't Lord Nisringa give Prahlad a special planet for his family to rule on, to rule over after he got that benediction? He had a special planet.
Dhruva. Dhruva so had Dhruva Lok.
No, his whole family got a special planet, I think. I'm not sure. But Dhruva had a certain planet, and Bali Maharaj, I'm getting old. But when he couldn't give the third step to Lord Vamanadeva, then he was arrested and he was bound by the ropes of Varuna. And Prabhupada says in the purport that any other living entity would have left his body and died out of the conditions that he was placed in. But Prabhupada says this one beautiful quote in his purport, he says that he puts his devotees that need to be reformed into that condition, unbearable conditions, but at the same time, he gives them the strength to overcome them. So there is more about Prahlad Maharaj later on in his descendants and the things that they went through as well.
Architapu?
I just wanted to add something to Subhas's question. Very nice answer you gave, but he asked directly, should devotees ask for relief? And that's been indicated so many places that, yes, you should ask, but depend on what comes from Krishna and accept whatever comes. In other words, the relief may come, it may not come. Just like we see so many examples. The demigods, when there's problems, they go to Brahma. Brahma goes to Vishnu. It's not that you should just sit and suffer in silence. Yes, you should ask. I'm suffering in this way. Prabhupada even said once, if you have a problem, you come before the deity and say, sir, this is my situation. Prabhupada said that. You come before the deity and say, sir, this is my situation. But then you have to be willing to accept whatever comes is Krishna's mercy. Either the relief comes or it doesn't come. It's Krishna's mercy.
When Gajendra was captured by the crocodile, Gajendra was living high, living large. He was on a heavenly planet. He had previously been a great king named Indrajumna, and he had offended a sage. Sages apparently have a hair trigger when it comes to cursing, and He said, you're so stupid, you become a dumb elephant in your next life. So he became an elephant in his next life, but it was on a heavenly planet. And he was the king of the elephants. He was enjoying with all his family members. They went to a lake, which was strewn with beautiful pollen from various colored lotus flowers. The breeze was coming, even though it was a little warm, and it was cooling them off. And he was enjoying spraying his family members with this water. And he was thinking, life is good. It's like sometimes here in this world, you have a full tank of gas, you just got your paycheck, refrigerator's pretty much stocked, and you think, I'm all right, you know, it's okay. And then Gajendra, suddenly the crocodile grabs onto his leg out of nowhere. And at first he thought, I'll fight him off. And so he started to thrash. And normally elephant defeats crocodile, but not in the water. So the fight went on for 100 celestial years. And there was a point at which Gajendra realized, I can't win. This is an interesting point, because there's a point that we'll come to when I'll feel I can't win. And it's hard to tell, because sometimes even devotees, I've heard recently different devotees passing away, what were the circumstances, what were they thinking, and so forth. And sometimes somebody might go into denial, say, I'm not dying. Someone says, no, you're dying. And say, I'm not dying. This is just Krishna's arrangement. And it's like, the doctor says you're going to be dead. And it's like, no, I just take this health food powder and I'll be okay, you know. At what point do you actually give up? Because you might hear stories such and such recovered from, you know, stage 4 cancer or something like that. I saw it right on the National Enquirer when I was checking out. And, you know, that might flash through your mind and think, you know, I need to survive. And it is the duty of everyone to survive. Actually, this is mentioned in the 10th canto when Vasudeva was saving Devaki in any way that he could. And Shukadeva Goswami, it's the duty of everyone to stay alive, because you need the body for inquiry into self-realization. So then, when do you give up? When do you say, I give up? Now I'm going to let it go. So we have to cultivate that kind of detachment. Anyway, Gajendra came to the point where he said, I give up. And then his recourse was to call out to the Lord with his prayers that he remembered from a previous life. He didn't even know who they were for, but he began to recite these prayers. They came to him. Therefore, Prabhupada said, everyone should learn some stotram. Besides Hare Krishna, you should memorize other verses, like he says, the Brahma Sanghita, the Nisringa prayers, and so forth, because they will carry over to your next life in case something happens and you become an animal. So, my last point related to Archita Prabhu's point, and that was, Gajendra says right in his prayers that, I know your pure devotees don't ask you for anything, including protection, but right now I've got a crocodile on my leg, and I would really appreciate it. And Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur mentions that in the course of life, when one's when family members or one's bodily existence is in danger, one might pray to Krishna to please help me. He said this is not outside the ordinary course of reasonability, and it is not outside the realm of pure devotional service, because after all, you're using your body for Krishna. But one who's simply in the bodily conception of life, trying to maintain the body, is in a different category altogether. Just one other example, and that's Kardama Muni, who sat in meditation for 10,000 years. And then the Lord appeared. Lord Narayan actually appeared on the back of Garuda, and Kardama Muni offered wonderful prayers, and then he said, but please forgive me. Now that you're here, I want a wife. And he said, you know, I don't know. That's the way it is. I've meditated for 10,000 years. You're right here in front of me, but I want, and Lord Narayan said, I know. I already arranged it. She'll be here in 2 days. Just hold on. So, and later on, of course, he renounced. So people are at different stages, and of course, Akama sarva kama va moksha kama utardi tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham param. That whatever situation you're in now, remain faithful to your practice of devotional service. And if there is some cry for help, then even that will become purifying. And we've run out of time. And I want to thank Suvas, Tadit, all the devotees at New Dwarka for being so warm-hearted and loving. And this weekend was an amazing weekend. We had Sankirtan 2 days. We had lots of classes together and an initiation ceremony. And it seemed like a long weekend, a lot packed into one weekend. And what you're all doing here is a beacon for the world, maintaining this strategic place, New Dwarka. It's not easy because of the force of time, and because of there are always heavy influences from Maya that come in at every direction. You look at Srila Bhaktisiddhanta's mission that was all but obliterated after he left, and Maya never rests. And so the devotees who are maintaining this center here at all costs, giving their whole life for it, are assuredly going back home, back to Godhead for this diligent service to Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and in the process making the only viable process for becoming perfect in life available to masses of people. So please go on with your stellar service that you're all doing here, and thank you very much for tolerating me for 4 whole days. And I'll look forward to seeing you soon. I'm going back up to Mountain View, which is the home of our new temple, which is already in process. Everything's done. I hear the floors are now being cleaned because major construction has been going on there for several months now, maybe 4 months. It's a brand new kitchen and altar, and it's a nice jewel of a little temple that Krishna gave us. Mountain View is in the heart of Silicon Valley. It's just near Stanford University. It's the next town down from Palo Alto, down south. And it's a little north of where we were before. So Mountain View, Radhanath Maharaj, when he was there, said that means Giriraj Darshan, because it's Mountain View. Anyway, y'all come up and see us sometime. And thank you very much for everything. Vancha kalpa trubascha kripa sindaveva cha patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha go premanande ari ari bo.